Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we are going to step back and say, day's end, weekend, all done. I've gotten through my week, I've gotten through my days and my time. Now, I'm going to sit back and reflect upon the past, look forward to the future, and look into this moment and see, how am I enjoying my moments? Sometimes we say, that's when you sit down and write in your date book. Sometimes when you sit down and you write in your journal and you reflect upon things and you create a story. What is this story all about? It's really the story of your life that you're creating and how you perceive things that have occurred in the past, how you would like to create them going forward, and how you see yourself in the moment. And isn't that moment sometimes jaded by the past? Or is it not jaded by the future as an illusion? Today, we're going to be talking to Lynn Riley. Her book is 30 Days to Me, a working book to living a serendipitous life. Really, what it's about is taking a day and just sitting down and reading a passage, ask some questions, write down something that might come to you, think about a few affirmations, maybe say, you know what, this is almost like journaling with a friend. So really, Lynn's book is a journal with a friend. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So Lynn, don't you think sometimes we get stuck into, this is my story and I'll refresh it and tell you about it because I've already created it in my head from the past, or I'll create something that I think I want to dream about in the future, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of living in the past and jumping forward to the future and avoiding where we are right now.
It's a tough place to actually say, where am I today? You know, I've done a few shows this week and we've talked about how to get to those places. Well, you don't always have to get somewhere. It's about being where you are. You don't always have to have joy in your life. You don't always have to have greatness and miracles. You may. But you may have a day where you're sad, you may have a day where you're feeling pain, and you may have a day where you're feeling alone. And I think to be able to honor that feeling and give it some credence and just sit with it is just as much as being able to say, oh, I had a really great day today, yes?
Absolutely. That's such a big piece of being present and living in the flow, which is something that, you know, certainly I experience as a human, but as a professional counselor, I talk about with people all the time of allowing your feelings to be what they are in this moment and experience them for their truth as opposed to avoid them and try to mask them and make them go away.
You know, and your book is a great asset because it has, like I said in the beginning, you have a story, you have some questions, then today's reflection. I think what's most important that was striking was today's. You're reflecting on today. You aren't reflecting on yesterday or last week or next whatever. It's today, right in this moment, what is coming up for you. And being able to honor in that moment is really where the story is all about, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I think that the reflection piece of the day is certainly looking at the moment, the temporariness of our feelings and our experiences and honoring the now. And it's also how our stories get created as to what our lives look like and how we think they are and what we think they should be. So sort of getting comfortable with the now and the flow of life allows it to be more enjoyable overall.
You know, you take on some heavy hitters in here, even though it's only on two pages. Let's talk for a second. You talk about eliminating fear. And everyone says, fear. I don't have fear. I don't worry about it. But then you ask them, what are they going to do tomorrow? And they'll say, oh, well, I'm going to go to work via some, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go. And you're going to say, oh, but it's going to snow. And they'll say, oh, no, I'll be prepared. I'll get in my car early. I'll make sure I'm all dressed and I'm ready. And, you know, out the door I'll go, you know. In other words, they always seem to have tools to be able to stop a fear or tools to be able to head off something that won't be, you know, in the future that doesn't seem like they wanted to go there. And that, in essence, is saying that you are living with some sort of fear. It might be out there in an unconscious kind of way, but also it's still out there, don't you think?
I do, and I, you know, I actually talk about fear a lot in my career and in just everyday living because I think that everyone holds on to fear of some kind. It certainly guides a lot of the stories that we tell, but also our reactions and responses to life. And, yeah, we do have that fear, but we also have trust, and it's a lot of tuning into trust. I always say that trust is the antidote to fear. Whenever you're fearing, when you are really engaging trust, that helps to reduce the fear, if not eliminate it. And that is, when you're getting in the car each day, you're practicing trust. That is a
right.
daily practice. And even when you're gearing up and leaving early, you're also practicing trust that that's going to be enough for you to get to where you want to go.
Right. And then I think so, too, sometimes people have the idea that they say, what is the word joy? We have to live in joy every day. You know, there's a lot of gurus out there now that are really really trying to get everybody on the bandwagon of you must have joy every day. They're almost using that sentence, you know. And what happens is that when people encounter something else, then they feel less than. Then they feel they're not living up to. Then they feel that something's wrong with them. And then they go running to here, there, or anywhere to, quote, get fixed, you know. And joy, I think, has so many varying different definitions that what really is the word? What does it really mean? Your thoughts?
Oh, that's such a, it's such, I'm so glad that you said that because that's something that I think about often and talk about often actually is that expectation of this is the way it should be. And if I'm not living with joy, what's wrong with me? And also, you know, that the big push on gratitude, you must be grateful for everything. Well, it's going to be impossible to be grateful for every single moment that you're feeling when you're feeling in a ball in the corner upset about how things are going in your world right now. If you've had a significant loss, you're not going to feel gratitude in that moment. And that's okay. It's not about having to live with, look for joy. It's about allowing joy to be what it is when it's available. Not available, it's always available, but when it's present in your life and becoming aware of it for what it is. You know, my book is the focus is, one of the focuses, living a serendipitous life and looking at the unexpected joy that occurs each day. Because if we're looking for it all the time, like you said, we're going to be disappointed because we're trying to meet an expectation that may not happen. But if we allow it to be what it is and pop up and become aware of it, then it takes off the pressure of expectation.
You know, it's really almost about being able to say, how can you live in the moment? You know, I would ask my husband, well, how was your day? Now, you know, it was another day. Or, oh, I just had a terrible day. I'll say, okay, well, tell me about it. And he'd tell me. And I'd say, you know what? You had the most fabulous day. Do you know why? You actually showed up. In lieu of all of that strife that you talked about, you came home today. And he said, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I had an okay day then, you know? In other words, we tend to define how, put a label on, this is joy, that's pain, that's suffering, that's this, that's that, and tend to want to jump into those names all the time instead of saying, you know, that it's just life is an experience and it's what you decide to put the label on, right?
Oh, yeah, perspective. You know, perspective really is everything, and the ability to shift perspective and take something that you've deemed painful and find some sort of value or use for it, I think is just, it's invaluable.
You know, I do a little exercise with a lot of people that have chronic illness, and we'll talk quite often, and they'll say, oh, I've had this and I've had that and I've had that and I've had that and I've been going to all these doctors and all of these other things, and finally they came down to a diagnosis and they'll pop it down on the table and say, here it is. And I'll say, oh, I am so happy for you. And it might be, not be a good diagnosis according to them, but I'll say, I am so thrilled. That is the most great place to be. And they'll look at you like you're crazy and they're going to walk out. But I said, wait. I said, because now you have a name on something. Instead of something going around in your head thinking that something else is wrong, you finally have a name on it. Now we can take it from there, you know? So I think sometimes people have all these thoughts that they're good, better, worse, mistakes, bad, you know, all these other things in their head. In other words, more like chatter in their head, people's other expectations and stuff. And you want to say, you know, hold on, you know? Yeah. I did yell at my kids this morning. Fantastic, you yelled at your kids this morning. Maybe they just needed to hear something, or maybe you just need to say something. Now let's see what they needed to hear and what you needed to say and rephrase it, you know? In other words, don't diss the experience that you had and call it bad and banish it to the, you know, banish it to Hades or wherever you want to say, because you're not allowed to do it again. Just see the experience for what it is and go forward, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that self-judgment can be so fierce, and it's very learned, and it's a lot of that pressure, again, going back to those expectations, and even go back to the expectations of, I must feel joy and I must feel gratitude. And they're really unreasonable in everyday living. It's because, again, as you said, being part of being present is allowing things to be what they are, and they're just moments. They're here and then they're gone, and it's your choice what you choose to do with them and how you want to own them, and what label you choose to put on them is really going to be a determining factor on how good you feel or how bad you feel.
Let's talk for a second about miracles. You know, I've seen them all my life. It's just something that's very commonplace. You know, I expect them almost all the time. They show up all the time. I see the unexpected ones also. But yet, there'll be many people that will say, I go through a whole life and I've never seen one because I haven't defined it as something way out there. You know, like, the UFO did not land in my backyard to take me away. So it's not a miracle today, you know. Or, yes, I still have pain today, so I did not have a miracle last night. And I think it's because sometimes we tend to define our miracle. We put all the I's on and we dot all of them. We put our commas in and our exclamation points, and we expect it to show up as we've constructed in the sentence. And when it doesn't show up with all those dotted I's and everything, we almost don't recognize it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, going back to those expectations, what you think it's supposed to look like, what it should look like. And if it doesn't, most people are waiting for that billboard to show up, you know, right in front of them saying, this is where you are. This is where you should be going. This is where you should be doing. And when they don't receive that, they're like, well, that's it. There's nothing out there for me. When in truth, if you look at, start to become aware of the everyday unexpected joys or things that feel good in each moment of the day, or not each moment, but throughout the day, you start to recognize how many beautiful miracles there are. And sometimes that's just you're on your way to work and you're running late and you're feeling anxious and nervous and that fear that you're going to get in trouble. And then suddenly the highway opens up and you're there on time. You have no idea how that happened, but it just did. Why wouldn't that be defined as a miracle when you're really getting what you're asking for?
Yeah, it's all about we command and we expect the world to do that in return, you know, and it has to show up or else, hey, it's not a good world to live in, right?
Right.
You know, it's kind of that is a hard place to be, because then you really live your life created inside of your silo, and then you're really commanding that life is going to go a certain way, and you don't really get to explore all the other parts of life. There's so much more, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, and it just that creates a lot of chronic disappointment and an expectation that things are just going to go badly, when, in fact, that's rarely the case. That really, I mean, certainly my belief that life is designed in our favor, but it's opening up that perspective and seeing it for what it is. And things like you were talking about, just taking a simple concept or something that happened in the day and reshaping it in the way that it works for you. It's the same event, whatever it is, but how you define it and how you look at it is going to make a big difference.
Can we talk for a second? You have the word freedom in your book. Freedom, people say, I have all the freedom I want. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. Yet others will say, I have no freedom. I go to work. I do what my kids tell me to do or what I have to tell them to do. Then I come home, and then it's a similar thing with my husband. And then I have family requirements on the weekends. And they feel they have no freedom. How do you define freedom?
I define freedom as having no constraints and having no limitations. And I look at freedom very much as really coming back to the power of choice. That really, if you step back and look at life, we are free at all times. And the only thing that gets in our way are the choices that we make, the walls that we put up, the prisons that we end up putting ourselves in with the door wide open. That really, freedom is available to everyone, and it's there. It's whether you choose to say yes or choose to say no to opportunity and what it is, what direction you're guided to take.
You know, you talk about relationships. I had a long, long, long talk with another guest the other day about relationships, and we were going back and forth, and the banter was, it was great. It was just like feeling like you're in a ping pong game. But really, with relationships, we say, do they work? Do they not work? And everybody will say, when you're sitting down having a conversation with someone else, really, you're almost sitting down and all you're doing is bashing someone or something else or reliving something that happened, and you're waiting for someone to validate your experience. You know, what kind of a relationship is that? I think sometimes sometimes when you call up someone and you have almost nothing to say, that's absolutely the best one, because you know that you've now stopped that old process. So don't you think sometimes in relationships we say, what are we perpetuating? What is that relationship that I'm having?
Right. And it's about going back to that reflection piece like they were talking about. What are my expectations? What do I want to get out of this? What is my purpose? And I mean, it certainly depends on the relationship and the interaction, but what am I trying to get from this? And I think a lot of even just regular everyday conversations that people have with others, it's always sort of a means to an end as opposed to just an opening to just be present, as you said, with someone else. And so I think that there's a lot of avoidance in that because it makes people uncomfortable to be present
right, with
someone else without having expectation of what it's supposed to look like.
But also, too, they feel like if they were true to themselves or said anything, they don't want to lose the relationship with the other person. Well, and then you ask them, what kind of relationship are you really losing? Are you just losing that confrontational engagement all the time? Is that necessary in your life?
Right. And people actually like the confrontation because sometimes that's what makes them feel alive, and it allows them to express
right, their
feelings in a way that they feel they aren't able to elsewhere. If they're in a relationship where they feel comfortable and they don't feel like they are going to be rejected in some way, or they're sort of there for the long haul, sort of like with kids and their parents, how they push on their parents so much more than other people because they know their parents aren't going anywhere. It's a place to sort of test boundaries and see where you stand and what you can get away with.
Well, you know, I think sometimes people feel that the world is happening to them. Do you know what I mean? And they're they're just sitting here, you know, and everything is happening to me. Why did that happen to me? I have to have a reason. Tell me why. You know, they run to psychics and intuitives. Tell me why this happened. Tell me what I'm missing. You know, they run to the doctors. Okay, so you have to fix it. Fix it up. Fix it up. And then they 99.9 the rest of their life, they just go along their merry way, just kind of touching and feeling and taking what feels good to them, you know, without thinking that there's any consequences or any engagement to the world around them. You know, we don't live in the world just for ourselves, yet society has really taught us that we do, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's, you know, talking about sort of taking that victim stance of this is all happening to me and I have no role in it and I have no, again, going back to freedom, going back to choice, no decision-making, and it's really a real simple act of lack of empowerment, of taking responsibility for what is happening in your life and the choices that you're making. And when you start to become aware of your own personal power and the way that you see things and the way that you respond to things and start to change it, it's life-changing, absolutely, completely life-altering, taking responsibility for yourself and understanding who you are.
You know, I really look at, though, history and in the world, you know, I really think that history has played a big part in this because, you know, when the wars were in the early 1900s, you know, people were told this is what you have to do and this is how you have to do it because we command. So, you know, and then after the wars, now you don't, why the reason I talk about history is because we still have, you know, our parents, grandparents or whatever that are in their 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. You know, so in other words, now that people are living longer, these this type of dogma is still on the earth and it just still does exist. So if you're speaking to an older person and they're saying this is the way it is, that may be a reflection from how they grew up, you know. And then in the 60s and 70s, you know, modern conveniences came along. How much could you get and how much could you have more, you know. And then in the 90s, it was all about just I, you know, the letter I. And it was profound. It was put everywhere. It was put on the internet when the internet first started coming out. It was put on bulletin boards. It was put on all kinds of marketing techniques. You know, how can you get the I and how you can make sure it's perfection? So really, in a way, we've created the world that we're in. It's just how can we dance with it and say, I'm going to choose not to dance with that piece anymore, right?
I mean, so much of our perspectives are without question, they're taught to us from our early child caregivers, our parents, you know, our teachers, and they're passed on from generation. We learn from the people before us, and that does continue to get passed on until somewhere along the line someone says, well, that doesn't feel right for me, and that's not how I see the world, and I'm going to change the way that I view that, or I'm going to change my perspective. And when I change my perspective, I'm going to start teaching that perspective to other people by the way that I respond and the way that I explain myself to the world, mm-hmm. or the way that I show up or present myself. And that's how change really happens, and changing those old patterns from you know, either previous generations. And not that there's anything wrong with those perspectives, but with time and as we evolve, the perspectives evolve with us.
And I think you and I probably would never have this conversation to even 10 years ago, because things have really changed very rapidly. And people will say, I'm not understanding, I've said this on the radio many years ago, is that people are not understanding the language yet that you and I are speaking about. What does perspective mean? What does joy mean? What is abundance? What's miracles? They wouldn't have understood that 10 years ago, and many still don't understand that. But what you and I are really here to do is to say, these are words. They're just letters. They're just something to put out there and say, would you like to, you know, maybe put them together and explore something different in your life. It's not about you're missing anything. You're not making a mistake if you're not there. It's just something else in life, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's you're right. They are words. They're concepts. It's really, I think, the energy behind them that we're talking about and looking at that the importance of, or the value, I should say, of going within and looking at self and saying, you know, what's important to me, what's not important to me, and having a focus of self, I think, and reconnecting with self is just so wonderful, because when you do reconnect with self, when you reconnect with the I and enjoy that particular vibration, it really creates, it honestly creates a chemical shift in the body and the wavelengths and how we feel good. And when we do that, when we elevate that, we're elevating our mood, we're elevating our perspective of ourselves and our compassion. And when we do that, we impact the people around us. When we feel good, we're going to treat people differently. We're going to treat them the way that we feel. That's just the way it works. And as we do that, you know, we're really shifting the focus of not just for ourselves, but for the rest of the world to be part of that energy shift of feeling more peaceful, more positive, and allowing joy to be what it is instead of judging the crap out of it all the time.
Yeah, it just seems that, you know, so many people are saying, oh, you belong over there and I belong over here, and they separate people. You know, we had a discussion the other day about teens in high school or in college and how they get kicked out of school and they start having trouble with drugs or alcohol or whatever, and then the kids are kind of like just you know, sort of like pushed over there is like, you're not good enough for us. You don't qualify. You need to go. It's almost like they're like bad grass and they just got to go. Well, now there's a lot of schools that are opening up that are specifically for only those children, so that they're able to help them understand that all the world is a different place, and then they help them change their perspectives, and they help them see life in a different way. And sometimes it's just as we've said, it's who you're interacting with, what's going on around you, and maybe some of that stuff you need to shake, and maybe you just need to disconnect from some of those other people. So really, I think what you and I are saying is about look where you are, validate where you are, work through your day, but also, too, you see how you can change the world by looking at kids in a different light and saying, there's nothing wrong with these kids. They're just doing something that maybe you don't like. Well, we get it's not great, but we're going to work through it and helping them. So really it is about changing, you know, everyone's life in the world by how we perceive it and how we can work through it, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh. I have such a passion, certainly around children as well. I was a school counselor for the majority of my career before I moved into private practice and even having my own children. But, you know, one of the things that I had always said to my children when they would talk about, you know, their friends or other people growing up was that, you know, there's no such thing as a good girl or a bad girl or a bad boy.
Right.
It's only bad behavior or good behavior, and we're identifying a person as if they are their behavior, and that's not fair because we've all chosen behaviors at times that don't work for us or don't work for other people, and we have to be given the opportunity to modify that behavior, to look at why are we having that behavior and how can we get to the root and change it for what it is, because it's always some sort of reflection of, you know, how we feel about ourselves or about the environment. And that's just so powerful in itself. I think if we can even look at people as, not look at people, but look at behavior for what it is as a part of a person, but not being all-encompassing of who they are, that perspective in itself allows us to address people or, you know, society and beliefs in a different way.
You know, it's funny you said about good girl. I have a little dog, and I remember, like, she would some randomly, like, pee on the floor. And my husband say, bad dog, and then she'd pee on the mat, and he'd say, good dog, good dog. I says, is she a good dog because she's doing what you want her to do? You know what
right,
I mean?
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, that she's living up to your qualifications, you know. And it was
right.
Like so odd. It was so blatant right in front of your face, but yet others will say, yeah, she's a good dog, yeah, because she's doing what I want her to do, so she doesn't ruffle my feathers and I don't have to clean it up. So it was like just the oddest way it sounded when it came out, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's our culture. That's how we speak about people. Oh, he's a good guy, or they're a good person. You know, oh, they're not a good person. They're a bad person. That's
right.
Not fair. You know, you're talking about A, B specific behavior, and now that's just become them. When we've all made decisions or thought things or done things that, you know, that not necessarily would qualify us as good people all the time, and that's just part of being human.
You know, it's in closing, we'll talk for a second about this. I noticed, you know how they have this new thing with young kids is that everybody has to get a trophy. If one gets one, everyone has to get one. And I'm thinking really what they're trying to say, they'll get to it eventually, I'm sure, is what they're trying to do is they're trying to validate the children. Well, if you just look at a child, give them a hug and say, hey, thanks for being here, you've already validated them. They don't need another trophy to put on their shelf.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that idea of validation or winners or losers is coming from somewhere else. Just say, hey, we all play the game. Hey, you know, 20 of us put up 5 points. Way cool. And let it go. Instead of, like, having to create this memory marker that ends up having to be this thing that you've always got to carry around. You know how, like, when people, you'll see them on TV, they got all their trophies out on their shelf, and it's like that's that marker of validation they've got to carry in their purse with them. Even if they move, they're going to wrap it in tissue paper and take it with them, you know? It's sort of like, can you let all of that go and just say, that was a moment in my time, and wasn't it cool, and move on?
Mm-hmm. Right, and why do we have to have an award to say that something went well, you know, that it, or to even say that all people have equal skills? I mean, that's certainly not the case, and to set that as an expectation is unfair for people who work diligently on improving a skill, whereas other people don't, because their skills are something completely different. I think it's
right.
okay to differentiate that. You know, we are unique individuals with beautiful qualities and skills that we're allowed to expose and get accolades for individually.
Yeah, it's just really out there. I think, again, your book we talked about today is 30 Days to Me. I think what you really find is that a lot of the concepts and the words and the thoughts we talked about today might show up for you when you're reading through this book and answering some of the questions, or maybe turning around and reflecting on your life, because it's all out there. It's just a matter of time when you'll come across it. So it's no big deal. Take your own time, walk through things, and say, hey, this is what's showing up for me today. Don't you think, Lynn?
Oh, yeah. It's about, I feel like it's a really a big piece of meeting yourself where you're at. You know, and I always tell my clients and my friends, like, listen, you're always worried about screwing it up. You can't screw it up. You really can't, because if you're moving in one direction and that doesn't feel right, then you'll stop and move in another direction when you're ready. And that's part of the process of living as well.
Absolutely. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for joining us. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you?
Yeah, the best way to find out more about me would be to go to my website on livingwithserendipity.com, and all the information about my books are on there, as well as my other writing and the work that I do.
Well, Lynn, it was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Lynn Riley, again, the book is 30 Days to Me, a working book to living a serendipitous life. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. And there really are no mistakes. It's all about your own thoughts. If you write down, I am angry, I am so PO'd, this is just not working for me in that book, fantastic. Go for a week, take a break, come back to it and say, you know what? Hey, what happened that day? What did I write that for? And then that's a starting point. You know, there's all kinds of starting points, you know. You could have a great day. You could have a rough day. You could have, I just don't know where I am today. And just take it for what it is and enjoy in the moment. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit DrJeanetteGallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.